Tonight, on RCD's Uncensored Mind, we present episode 106, The Pro Wrestling Business Model. Topics for the evening include the NWA, the company that just refuses to die, the return of the two-man commentary booth, Anthem goes on a shopping spree and builds a potential superpower with the help of Mark Cuban and Steve Harvey. WWE changes up its pricing system, and did the UK bring sexy back to pro wrestling? All this and more in tonight's Orsini's Uncensored Mind.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your Josh Soul Brother from another mother. This is your host, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini. And as I said at the top of the program here, this is episode 106 that I am bequeathing onto all of you. And of course, the title of this episode, The Pro Wrestling Business Model. So much do we sit here on the good days and discuss the world of pro wrestling. We deal with the drama of it, the sports entertainment of it, performance arts and all that other garbage. We always deal with the backlash of the fans and all this other stuff. We very rarely ever divulge into the most important part of the pro wrestling business. Very rarely do we ever divulge into the part of the business world. So today, Orsini, Uncle O, will be taking you on a ride here. We're going to be talking the business of pro wrestling. And I don't mean sitting here preaching to you about what's right and what's wrong and blah, blah, blah. No. We're talking some up-to-date, in-the-news, happening-right-now material as far as the wrestling business is concerned. Because there's a lot of moving and shaking. And if you're not paying full attention to everything, you're going to miss out on some cool shit. There's a lot of stuff that we need to discuss here. And of course, I'm the host to bring it all to you. Before we get underway, of course, I'd like to remind everybody that while you listen to this show, I don't know what you're wearing. I'm not going to ask what you're wearing because that would make everything totally weird. But I know what you should be wearing. You should be wearing the AJ Orsini, Orsini's Uncensored Mind Sexy Gray Tee. It's the official t-shirt of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. All you need to do, very simply put, is head over. I don't know why they don't have an app yet. I would assume an app right now would be easier for them. But until then, all you need to do is head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/AJOUM and check out the gray tee. Get yourself a shirt of any size, folks, and help support the show in that way. If you're listening to this, of course, you probably already know, but I'll remind you anyway, in case you stumbled upon my show completely by accident, AJOUM.podbean.com is where you can catch every single Orsini's Uncensored Mind episode every Saturday night, 9 p.m. sometimes. I try to stick to the 9 p.m., guys. I really do. I try hard. For the most part, I'm getting about a B. I'll say I'm somewhere in the 80 percentile of getting it up at 9. If I'm not up at 9, it's usually because I'm running behind on something, which means 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever the case may be. Like I said last week, I am sticking to this because it's Saturday at 9. That's the time that I share it. If you're looking to get an early dose of the episode, if you just happen to be bored or you're at work or you're on the bowl or you're in the tub or you're on the, you know, whatever you're doing to yourself and you want to kill a little extra time and listen to Uncle O here give you the sweet, sweet news, all you need to do is head over to that website I just gave you, AJOUM.podbean.com. Hit the subscribe button and you just might be early enough, or you might be able to catch it early enough, the episode's initial release, because normally I will upload it there and schedule a shared time so that I don't have to worry about it. So you might get lucky, you might be able to get the show a little bit earlier than everyone else if you subscribe directly to Podbean. From what I understand, some people have done that through the website and through the app. They do have an app, just Podbean. If you can't get through me through the Podbean app or on the Podbean website, very simply put, folks, I can run them all down for you, but I ain't got all night. I am on a lot of podcast servers, and all you need to do is hit the old Google machine, type in Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and it will take you to the all the many podcast websites I am on, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and you can catch the show any way through those links. Okay, guys? So I told you about the t-shirt. I told you about the different ways in which you can listen to the show, but you're listening to the show right now. So let's get balls deep into this bitch. Let's put our dick all the way into this, save for hitting the cervix wall. Let's stay a little close and play a little bit with the clit here and just start off right off the bat. I already gave you a rundown of what this episode is going to be about, and I've got some shit that we need to talk about here. Of course, I want to start off the bat with a little tidbit that I said last week, a little out of frustration, but it was a frustrating situation, but it turned into a rallying cry for myself. Last week, I stated, for the record, I'm kind of done talking about the WWE. Not completely, obviously, there's going to be times, but I'm a little done with discussing WWE pay-per-views or storylines leading up to it, because to be honest with you, I feel a lot like everybody else in a sense of I'm just not as interested as I used to be. Now, that doesn't mean that I stop watching. I literally still watch it every single week. I am a hardcore. I will die a hardcore for the WWE. But that doesn't mean I have to talk about it on this fucking show. I could talk about anything I want on this show. And to be honest with you, I want to do something a lot more refreshing and change some shit up. We're in the hundreds now. I'm approaching my second year anniversary on October 11th. Let's change some shit up. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to talk a little WWE today because it fits into the business model I'm going to be talking about here tonight. But for the most part, if you're looking for my show to keep up on what's going on Raw and SmackDown, you're going to be wasting your time. There are other podcasts for that. There are a lot of podcasts that have Raw review, SmackDown review, pay-per-view review. That's not what Orsini's Uncensored Mind is for. I said argument because I normally do argue with this guy, but not in this case. It wasn't an argument. It was more of an observation of the fact that I saw the UK, the NXT UK show, NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff, happened a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. But I didn't get a chance to really see the show until today, actually. So I didn't really get a chance to see it, and I actually didn't see it in its entirety. But the first thing that I watched was Tyler Bate and Walter, because it's the one that everyone's talking about. Which is upsetting because Tony Storm actually had a pretty nice match on this card, too. Those were the two matches that I saw today. Apparently, those are the only two that I needed to see, from what I've been told. But I will see the rest of the show. I'm not going to disrespect anybody else. I want to see. I actually want to see the Cesaro match. I'm very interested. But I did see these two matches, and super excited about the idea of there's just an old-school feel coming back here. What old is seems to be new again. We seem to be getting a little further and further away from the garbage that this poor sport of mine that I love so dearly was starting to become. We're starting to come out of the fog a little bit, and there's a little hope. There's finally a little bit of light at the end of this tunnel, because I got to tell you, the Walter Tyler Bate match brought back so many great memories. A lot of people will tell you that it was a great match. If you just watch it in a with a tunnel vision and you just take it for what it is, it's just a really good match. The match itself, while great, was not at all what made it so special to me. The overall vibe. I mean, we've got two professional wrestlers in here. Big man, little man, but the little man is just as strong as the big man, and it's a pure fight atmosphere, and these two guys, it felt like a championship match, a true heavyweight against a smaller opponent who has proven that he's willing to hold his weight in the heavyweight division. Heel, babyface, 44 minutes, time to tell a story, ebbs and flows, ups and downs, big moves, little moves. This was a professional wrestling match, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is going to sound a little cornetish, I'm sure, a little old man screaming at the cloud, but it's been a long time since I've been actually able to sit down and watch a professional wrestling match on a big stage. I've seen wrestling matches, you know, on YouTube and matches that are really good that I can sit down and watch. I've seen a little bit of overseas stuff, especially in the UK, so I'm not surprised that this happened over in the UK. But this was a matchup where I was actually able to sit down, with a beverage and a snack, and I felt like I'm 36 years old. I felt like 16-year-old me. I went 20 years in time. I watched a professional wrestling match, the likes of which I have not seen in a long time. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say it's the greatest match of all time. Again, I don't deal in hyperbole. You guys can sit there and blow each other if you want. I don't know if it's the greatest, one of the greatest matches of all time, or one of the greatest matches in WWE history, or one of the greatest matches in NXT history. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just happy about the fact that I was able to sit down, watch this match, and enjoy it bell to bell, and enjoy it for literally almost all of it. Can you nitpick certain things? Sure, but you can nitpick every match. And this was just a great professional wrestling match. It was good to see Toni Storm, and I believe it was Carla. The name's Lee Ray. I know that. Lee Ray. And they had a great match as well. They had a fantastic match. Not good for girls, but an actual, like, it was a great professional wrestling match. And Kay Lee Ray, Toni Storm and Kay Lee Ray had an amazing match at NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff. And it just leads, you know, the rumor mill is search. It was going through Toni Storm leaving the UK, Pete Dunne leaving the UK to head over to NXT full-time Wednesday nights. You know, they're gutting talent. They're moving some things around for the Wednesday night show. And these are really solid picks. We already saw Rhea Ripley move over. It seems like all hands are going to be on deck for this Wednesday night NXT show, which is awesome. Still no word yet, at least not officially, that I've heard, that they're going to be moving out of Full Sail or be a traveling entity, or are they going to keep it exactly the same formula? Who knows? There's been a few tweets about Johnny Gargano staying with NXT. Because here's the thing, if it becomes a Wednesday show on USA Network, it becomes a brand. And I've been saying this for forever. There's certain qualifications for it being a brand. And that's one of them. Television, exposure, not treating it like a developmental and having guys get called up to the main roster and blah, 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 blah. But this is one of the ways that you can make this a brand. But now we're going to see if they're going to even take it a step further. How many of these main roster guys are going to be moving to NXT? In all honesty, I think Cesaro should be a full-time guy. There may be a few... You know, I know this is going to sound weird, but, you know, Finn Balor, if you think about it, would be a tremendous addition to NXT UK. I was never a fan of him going to 205 Live, but him in NXT UK would be absolutely amazing, and they can use a guy like that, a little star power on that roster. I know he's gone right now, but for him to return to NXT UK would be absolutely amazing. Amazing, and I think he'd have a lot of fun doing that. Finally, something different for him to do. Speaking of which... I know I wouldn't do too much WWE, but again, we're doing the business model. So just as an update as well, not just for this great professional wrestling match, but more talent is going to be heading to UK in support of this Wednesday show, because 205 Live is now coming off of the air. It's a mercy killing. They finally took the horse behind the barn and shot it right in the back of the fucking head. This show never had a chance. This show never really... That's it right there. It never really had a chance. They never really put it in a position to succeed. It never gave it the best that they could possibly do. They just made another brand, another SmackDown brand for the little guys to fight on, and that's not enough. You know, they had a real solid opportunity to do something really cool with that and completely drop the ball. And I'm glad that they finally realized it, and they have bigger priorities. And now they can nitpick their favorites and move them over to NXT, where they have a lot more time that they have to fill, a lot more content is needed, a lot more talent is needed for that. So we're still probably going to see our Gallaghers and our Drew Gulaks, which, for the record, I think even Triple H will admit, Gulak was never a 205 guy. He was never... his style, that was never his thing. So him moving over to NXT actually makes a whole lot of sense. I know a lot of people shit a chicken when they saw Kushida make his 205 Live debut. But as we all know now, that was all for naught, because they're all going to be part of the NXT brand moving forward. Starting September, 18th, 19th, Wednesday nights. I have to pull this up here. It's right in front of me. Hold on a second. It is 18th. All right, Wednesday 18th. So Raw the 16th, SmackDown 17th, NXT the 18th. AMC is already on Wednesdays. So I don't even know why people are shitting the chicken about that. But yes, so 205 Live, gone, shot between the eyes, laid to rest, torn to shreds, however you want to look at it. Once Ali and Alexander was off that fucking brand, there was really no fucking reason. Not to say that they don't have talent, but the way that they were utilizing that talent, the way that they were being presented as a brand, it didn't make any sense at all, really. So I'm glad that they're going to be... The convolution is over. They're going to be able to take that talent and put them on NXT full time. And maybe now, we'll get an opportunity. I guarantee you, Mauro and Nigel calling those matches with Beth Phoenix are going to make those guys a lot more interesting moving forward. So it might be the best for all their careers. But let me see. Let me go down to the bottom and just clarify that I do have one more WWE thing. So let me go ahead and just do that then. So we can get all this WWE garbage out of the fucking way, and we can get into the shit that I really want to talk about. So the only other thing that I have here for the WWE in my notes in front of me is the network. We're going to talk a little bit about the WWE network. For those of you who don't know, this thing was released, I think, on my birthday, February 25th, 2014, I believe. If not the 25th, it was like 24th. It was like right around that time because we ordered it, purchased it for my birthday. So that's how that started. I got it the day that it came out, and I've had a subscription nonstop, uninterrupted subscription pretty much since then. And I'm just now realizing that we are almost 6 years in now, because February, right? I passed. So the February coming up is 2020. It'll be almost 6 straight years of having the WWE Network, and I've been paying practically the same price we all have, unless you're one of those people that has just been phishing their website with all these different email addresses, which they try to stop and stop the phishing and all that stuff, and it didn't work. People were still getting it, and then they just gave up and said, fuck it, we're going to do free subscriptions anyway, so how about that? But the WWE is now tiering with the idea. Excuse me, I said tiering too soon. I swear to God, miss, it never happens that way. I don't normally go off that early. No, the WWE is toying with tiered prices. That's what I was trying to say in the presentation here. They're toying with the idea, and I think they're going to go that. They've been talking about this for a while, which means even though they're toying with the idea, it's pretty much going to fucking happen. It's just a matter of when they pull this trigger. But I got to thinking. By the way, folks, for tonight's episode, I did a ton of fucking homework, so I'm ready to go. So it got me curious. So I started looking some things up about the network. One of the things that I found, which is not related to the business end, but I just thought it was extra hilarious. The network originally, because remember, they were kind of ahead of its time in 2014, believe it or not. Full-time subscription services were rare back then. There were only really a handful of people really in the game at the time doing it. And one of the people that the WWE partnered with was a partnership with a group called BAM Tech. BAM Tech is a streaming site or a streaming services company that was working with Major League Baseball at the time. They were also trying to kind of get ahead of the curve on that. And the WWE jumped in the bed with these guys. And ironically enough, BAM Tech is controlled and practically owned through and through by Disney. Which means that Disney, at some point in time, maybe that's where the rumors started, but at some point in time was basically controlling the WWE's content on their own network. Disney owns everything. That goddamn evil mouse again rears its ugly head. Unfortunately, our heroes in this story, the WWE, kind of saw the writing on the wall when it came to Disney, was not okay with the idea of Disney actually being in as much control as they were, and decided to split. They joined with another company, and now practically are running this shit all on their own, which I'm assuming now is what's leading to this tiered prices. So what kind of tiered prices are we talking about here, AJ? I will tell you. Right now, the rumor is, now this nothing is official just yet because, again, they're toying with the idea, but the proposals so far have been three tiers. A free tier, a regular tier, and a premium tier. Free tier is exactly what you think it is. Regular access is basically access to WWE.com. You can go through, it'll link you through the network site, but you won't have access to a whole bunch of stuff. Previews, maybe some sample stuff. It'll be like free matches or whatever the case may be. Maybe a free episode here and there, some of their original content. Basically, whatever you already have on WWE.com. The second tier would be regular service, basically the service that we're paying for at the moment. You have access to pay-per-views, the Vault, the old-school Raws and SmackDowns and pay-per-views and things of that nature, obviously NXT. So here is the part where people might get a little confused. I know that I was, because I'm thinking to myself, what's the difference? But I did find the difference. So the third tier is the premium tier. I know everyone's heard that, but you're probably wondering to yourself, what kind of options are we talking about as far as the premium tier? Now, the WWE obviously is an entertainment company, but they're a business. You know, there's more to their company than the actual entertainment part. I know fans have a hard time conceptualizing this, but yes, there's actually more to the WWE than bumps. There's a whole lot more, which is actually where the money is generally made. Now, so for the premium service, they're offering standard WWE Network service, access to all the stuff that you have access for. Plus, they're going to be looking to add more content. Now, you're thinking to yourself, AJ, I mean, how much more content can they add? Well, the premium account would have access to other promotions that they're having working agreements with. Promotions such as Evolve, ICW, Progress, and WXW. They're even in talks currently with, believe it or not, CMLL over in Mexico and a few other Latin companies, depending on how the deal, I guess, with CMLL goes. And they have been in actual talks with multiple overseas countries and promotions and trying to get basically a more worldly look to their network and offering those shows and that content, even the libraries, for the premium account holder. As non-entertainment amenities toward the premium account, two things that stuck out of my head, because they named a bunch of frivolous shit that no one's going to care about. Free shipping was one of the ones that was offered as a premium holder, meaning when you go to WWE shop and you want to buy shirts and hoodies and merch, as a premium account holder, you are not responsible for shipping. You sign into your account, you buy your shit like normal, and they will wipe away the... It's free, baby. They ship it to you for free. The postage is on them if you get yourself a premium account. It's almost like a Prime deal, almost. And the second thing that popped up, and I laughed when I saw this because they didn't really explain it, but I know what this is because I've been around and I've seen these words used before. And I think this is the one that they're really gonna try to lure people in with. The second option they threw in is digital ticketing. That's how they said it. They said we're gonna offer digital ticketing, which is bullshit for exclusive tickets. Essentially, is what that is. I know it threw in digital to give you the impression, well, it's going to be online tickets. Everything is online. That's not what it means. It means exclusive tickets. It means using the exclusivity of a membership. It's kind of like UFC, Ring of Honor did it for forever. I think they still do it. Where it's like the Honor Club or some shit like that, where tickets will go on sale. If you have an event March 1st, and tickets go on sale January 17th, the premium account holders will be able to get tickets like in December. You know what I mean? Like, it's you get first dibs at tickets to events with a premium account. You can sign into your premium account. You can go into the ticket, into the ticket purchase sections, and you should be able to put in a code, or maybe it's already there because of your account status, and you'll be able to get your hands on tickets beforehand. I think that's going to be their, I'm calling it now, that's going to be their primary push for the marketing. They're going to push that on people and let people know they can buy tickets ahead of time, along with access to all this other stuff, but I promise you, the ability to get tickets on the cheap and first will be a huge benefit to the WWE. And I know that it will be because it was for all these other companies. That's why they're doing it. Because it worked. It worked for UFC. It worked for Ring of Honor. There are other companies that I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head right now. But I've seen this work before. This is why I knew when they said digital ticketing what they meant exactly. It replaced digital because it's all digital. Which is why it's a bullshit term. It's all digital. Replace digital with exclusivity. Exclusive tickets. You're going to get a chance, especially when it comes to like WrestleMania season, to be able to get WrestleMania tickets before anybody else. That's going to be a lovely option for a lot of their hardcore fans. So look out for that. So that's the WWE's tiered pricing situation right there. Again, rumor mill. This could be split up even finer and tiered even more, or it could be tiered, you know, even less. You could just do two things. Who knows? But if this is the way that it's going, I'm not entirely upset about this. As a subscription holder, I'll tell you right now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth now that I'm thinking about it, because I'm not that excited about Raw, and I'm not that excited about SmackDown, and I'm kind of excited about NXT, and I'm not going to really be talking about it too much on the show anymore, but yet in my brain, it says you better get that fucking premium account. I don't even know if I'm going to use it for what it is, because honestly right now, the only thing that I use the network for is old shit. And a few original contents. When they do like the 24/7s or the 365s, like I don't watch Table for Three and shit. I saw it in the beginning. It was kind of okay. And then it just gets weird. But I do watch like a little bit of the documentary stuff, some behind the scenes stuff. Definitely old school Raws and SmackDowns and shit. I get my money's worth. I'm cool with it. Well, should I stay with the regular or do the premium for the free shipping and the digital tickets and the Evolve and the... I don't know, because I'm not really, look, I don't really watch much of the other indie stuff. I know that I should, because whenever I do, I enjoy it. So that tells my brain that I should be watching more of it. But paying for it and having access to it, will that change the fact that I'm not watching on a regular basis? I don't know. There's a piece of me that says, and this is how they get you. I know I'm falling for the trap, but at least I'm falling willingly. It's that option to try. I would love to try it, and I'm sure I can always go back into the system and downgrade. But there is a piece of me that says, eh, try it. See if having access to Evolve or having access, and we're not going to get takeovers, obviously, but big shows now, like we did for the Evolve show recently on the WWE Network. There's a lot of different options. If they get CMLL or if they get AAA, which I'm not trying to start any rumors. I've heard nothing about them trying to get AAA in the bunch, but I mean, if AEW's whole deal is having international partnerships and having ties to these major corporations, if WWE comes in and takes that partnerships away, I mean, that's just going to help them and hurt AEW, which apparently is the goal. I didn't think it would be, but here we are. Here we are. And that's the WWE's ticket pricing there, and that's it for the WWE. I'm done. There's other shit that I want to talk about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about something right now I never thought I would fucking talk about. I genuinely, like, there's a big piece of me that's like, dude, this is a dead topic. I will never get an opportunity to talk about this company. It just will never, ever happen. But alas, here we are. I've got a genuine shot at discussing the one topic I never thought I would get to talk about here, and I gotta be honest with you, I'm pretty super excited. Of course, I'm talking about the NWA. I'm talking about the National Wrestling Alliance. I never thought I'd be able to get a chance to speak on them on this show, but by cracky, I'm gonna get that chance. And I'm gonna talk about it right now, right after this. Hey guys, every Wednesday night at 9 p.m., you guys can go over to ajoum.podbean.com to download the most recent episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. And I am happy to announce that people from over 15 countries have done just that several thousands of times. I am so proud of the success this show has had currently, and I look forward to the future that is so bright. Got to wear shades. And if you are a business out there right now looking and entering a sponsorship situation, look no further than Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I've got a ton of fans who are looking to hear all about your service. All you need to do is reach out to me, send me a message on social media, or email me at ajorsini96host@gmail.com, and let's get this buddy system working. I'm here to work for you, and let's make this happen. I have to update that commercial because it said 15 countries. It said, oh, about over 15 countries. Yeah, it's over 25 countries now. But yes, if you are interested in a sponsorship deal, if you're interested in getting your product promoted here on the show and heard by literally thousands, hit me up on the old machine there, the old email or the old DM or whatever, slip into my DMs ever so gently and let's get this business started. Much like the National Wrestling Alliance, my God, they refuse to die, and I respect them like I respect the hell out of them for it. Billy Corgan, the current owner of NWA, former head man of the Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, when you first had heard that deal, you're like, wow, that's crazy. Oh, well, he what did he buy? What did he really buy? And really, all he bought was a name and some lineage. And believe it or not, that has been enough to propel him into all these different directions. He's made some great business moves along the way. For those of you who are unaware, NWA and Ring of Honor had a partnership going for a long while. NWA title defenses. Obviously, you saw the all-in title defense against Cody Rhodes, but there's more than that. Nick Aldis, the current two times heavyweight champion. His current reign is 290 days so far. He's been champion for a while. They've really built around this guy. But they've picked up other acquisitions along the way. They hired Eli Drake off of Impact after his controversial exit from the company. Their National Heavyweight Championship, which is, considered a secondary title, but National Heavyweight Champion, that just sounds wonderful. I mean, that's old school wrestling right there. Colt Cabana, believe it or not, was walking around with that belt about a month ago. And James Storm, the Cowboy, returning to his NWA roots, their current champion. NWA Women's Champion Allison Kay, again, formerly of Impact. NWA Tag Team Champions, Villain Enterprises, PCO, and Brody King. That is all up-to-date, really good fucking talent. They've got real fucking champions there. They, like I said before, they had a relationship with Ring of Honor. That relationship came to an end in July. And that was NWA's decision. People are running from Ring of Honor. I mean, they're running screaming from Ring of Honor at this point. But it was an NWA decision. They wanted to step away and, as they called it, pivot into breathing their own air. It's nice to have those relationships, and it's nice to make a little business together. But at the end of the day, you kind of want to do your own thing, and they want to do their own thing, and they will now be doing their own thing on television. We're gonna get into some information here, but there's gonna be some holes. Okay, so just follow me on this. So the NWA, like I said, he bought a name. He bought some lineage. When you think of the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, you think of some of the greatest wrestlers who have ever lived and have ever been in the game, baby. You're talking the Fat Man himself, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Harley Race, God rest his soul, the man who just passed away. Some of the greats of this industry have held the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And facts are facts. It doesn't mean the same that it used to. But the fact that they're still pushing and they're still trying to make it as important, to me, is important. To me, is really what makes this whole situation. The fact that there's just so much passion behind trying to make this championship still mean something. Mean something to an audience, not only from yesteryear, but an audience, to be honest with you, that sorely needs it today. I know people don't feel that way. I know people think that today's wrestling is just as good as ever, and I have to agree to a degree. Wow, I'm spitting bars right now. No, that's what I'm trying to say here is I agree to a degree. I think the wrestling, as far as athleticism goes, is as great as it's ever been, but the storytelling of it, the entertaining section of it that we used to love when we were kids is just, it really just is not there anymore. It just isn't. I don't get the same enjoyment out of watching on national TV. I still watch wrestling that gets me, but it's hard on national TV to follow it and to really get behind it. So the NWA is trying to bring some of that back. So what they're doing is they're doing their own television, but don't exactly know what network they're going to be on just yet. It may not even be a national thing. It may be a local deal, whatever the case may be. But I think the cool part about the whole story is studio shows. They're going back to the studios. If you've never seen the old soundstage in Atlanta, Georgia, with the WWE, recently visited about a year or so ago through NXT, they went to the old sound studio over there, and it lent itself for great television. some of the best promos. If you go to YouTube, some of the best promos you'll ever see. Some of the best storylines being set up and told over that podium. Some of the best wrestling in the world has taken place in that in those facilities. And very intimate. I don't expect big buildings. They're going to keep it low-key. They're going to take it back to the NWA days. And as a 36-year-old who grew up on a lot of that stuff, I'm pretty psyched about this. Now, their relationship with Ring of Honor ended back in July, so they're on their own here. They're doing the studio deal, and they're going to be doing their own television. Billy Corgan has gone out of his way on a lot of occasions to promote these upcoming deals. So hopefully by next week, or maybe even 2 weeks from now, because they're going to debut on September 30th. So, I mean, that's about 2 weeks from now. We'll have a little bit more information station-wise, where you can find it, where you can catch it. Of course, if you go online, you can catch their 10 Pounds of Gold series that follows the NWA Championship and some of their other stars over there in the in NWA. And you can really get a sense of where they're going talent-wise, creatively. But the sense is, I'm going to tell you right now what the sense is. Actually, it's geared very old school. He's bringing it back to the basics, bringing it back to the fundamentals. And to be honest with you, a lot of new school fans are probably going to snub their nose at it because it's not what they're used to. But as I'm told all the time, wrestling evolves, wrestling changes over time, and that's fine. If you want alternate options, if you want different styles to fit your mood or whatever the case may be, that's cool. Leave this shit for the rest of us then. For the ones who love pro wrestling, like I do, I'm going to enjoy this program. I know that people think, say, NWA, and they think all these old school white guys, but I promise you, I could already foresee it happening here. They're gonna be very eclectic. They're gonna be very selective on the talent they bring in. They're gonna do all the right things. I'm beginning to have faith in that fact. If they're going to try to do all the right things, so I'm gonna watch. I hope you guys watch as well. I slipped up. I made a boo-boo because I'm looking at my notes now, and there's one more WWE thing, but it's not. It's not really about the WWE. It's just something the WWE is doing, and I want to talk about the bigger picture here, not the WWE. So bear with me again. But the WWE is moving to SmackDown to Fox, as we all know. The big deal, what was it, $250 million or $200, something like that. I forgot what that deal was. It was a long time ago when we did that fucking episode. But as we all do know, they are moving to Fox, so there's a lot of moving going around. 205 Live is canceled, so we have a lot of moving parts as far as commentating teams. So I want to talk about commentating teams for just a second and how important on the business level this thing really is, okay? Because we're learning through AEW that this shit is not easy, and it's not easy to put together. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to coordinate. AEW is struggling right now with their commentating situation. And I think people take this shit for granted because they're not really paying attention to the idea of how important, how absolutely important having a good commentating team really is. And selling and a group of guys that are going to sell your stories, that are going to get it out there for people to see and to understand and to buy tickets to watch. And to spend their time at home watching on TV. Commentators tell your story. They're a very important piece of the puzzle here. And AEW is struggling with that. WWE is also struggling with that. They're trying to find the right combination. I think they have better commentators than AEW has. But that doesn't mean that WWE is hitting all kinds of home runs either. So, with the move to Fox, it seems that they're going to move their anchor, their rock, Michael Cole, to SmackDown to work with an exclusive Corey Graves, and that is it. Now, again, it's official that the two of them are working. The two-man group is unofficial. Because remember, that's basically the Raw team, Corey Graves and Michael Cole. And the third member of the Raw team is Renee Young. Now, FS1 was a part of this Fox deal. They're going to be doing a studio-related show for Fox Sports 1. The obvious choice here is Renee Young. The problem is they don't want to look like a goof by putting her on commentary and then ripping her off and coming off like a bunch of sexist, misogynist assholes. But the bottom line is, she should be moved. Not because she's bad, because I actually don't think she's that terrible. I think people overblow it. Is she great? No, she's not a great commentator. She said it herself. She's learning on the job here. But what she is great is, she is a fantastic show host. She is a fantastic journalist. She is a fantastic presenter and orator and a storyteller. She's great at all that stuff. On the spot, she struggles. The commentary is neither here nor there. I don't think she's horrific, but I've heard some horrific commentators. She's not horrific, but she's not the best either. So for her to move into a hosting position, FS1, I think is great, and there's rumors that that's exactly what they might do. But if they don't, and they leave her where she is, then it would be a three-man team heading to Fox. The bigger picture I want to talk about here isn't even the moving pieces. It's not even how difficult or how underappreciated commentators are. It's none of that. What I really wanted to talk about was the struggle or the importance of a two-man team. I don't understand how this is overlooked. I don't understand how we keep winding up here in the sense of what is this obsession with having a third member of the fucking commentating team to the point where it's being done on the indies. And it's irritating, to be honest with you. Again, following the leader. It's a bunch of people trying to be the WWE. It is frustrating. Because I've done two-man. I've done three-man. Unfortunately, I have done four-man. And two-man is where it's at. Three can be done, but it's irritating. Too much back and forth. Too many stepovers. There's a lot of things going on in a three-man team. Four was impossible. I drank heavily that evening after the fact. I just wanted to murder people. The three-man team is hard. It's a pain in the ass. It can be done. Two-man is the sweet spot. Play-by-play in a color. My God, it's exhausting. You're doing more work because you're talking more between the two. But by God, is it so much more fun. And to be honest with you, as a viewer and a listener, so much more fun to listen to the repartee, the back and forth, the give and take of two people who know what they're doing, who's calling the action, and keeping you engaged, and more importantly, keeping you informed, which is the one thing, yet again, AEW just drops the ball on. AEW just assumes you know everybody. Well, they have a following around the world. Whoever's watching our TV clearly knows who they are. And it's not true. They've told no bios, no backstories. They mention it from time to time. The commentators try to sneak it in when they can. But for the most part, it just doesn't get fucking discussed. It just doesn't. So it leaves their talent in a, not for nothing, in a tough fucking spot. Two-man team is where it's at. The WWE hasn't had a two-man team in a long fucking time. Because for whatever reason, they have this theory that a third person adds to the fucking booth because there's a little thing called recovery rate. Okay, there's a recovery rate issue when it comes to two men. If something happens to one of the guys, they get flabbergasted or they get stuck on something. It's hard to recover from it in the moment because you only have the one other guy. So if the one other guy, let's give you an example, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. Jim Ross very, very, very rarely ever stammered, stumbled, or was a loss for words. Clearly the king is in the same boat. But when it happens, it's almost hard to miss because you could just hear the other commentator overcompensating or not picking up on the signal, and then you have dead air. With a third person, you eliminate a lot of that. It's a lesser chance that you're going to flub up because you've got two other people paying attention to the same shit you are. It's kind of a failsafe. It's a backup system. I don't dig it. To me, it's doing the trapeze routine with a net. I don't like the net. Don't give me the net. I want 3 hours off the top of my head doing my thing. Leave me be. That's just me personally. That's the way that I get down with it. That's the way that I want to fucking do it. And that's the end of that. I don't really get too wrapped up in how people perceive a three-man team as opposed to a two. As a fan, or as a viewer, I prefer a two-man. As a professional, I prefer a two-man. So if they're going to Fox Sports, excuse me, if they're going to the Fox Network as a sport, because that's what they're going to be under, they're not going under TV drama. They're going under sports entertainment, which is why this whole performance arts thing is bullshit. Another topic for another day, I guess. But that'll be that. Two-man team is where it's at. You're going to enjoy the program. But watch how much better you enjoy the program with just the two guys rapping back and forth. It's going to be a completely different ballgame, guys. But I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I really do. Now we're moving on to our next topic here, which might be the, I think it's the last one. But it's a doozy. It's actually a combination of two, so we'll wrap up with this. But our boys over at the Owl, Anthem, the good folks who own Impact Wrestling. And it's funny because it's the one thing that we know about Anthem, right? They own Impact Wrestling. I've had a few people tell me this. It's the one thing that they know. They don't really know a whole lot more about Anthem other than the fact that it's just... That's the company that owns Anthem. So, I did a little digging. What the fuck is Anthem? And Anthem, basically, from what I can find on their website, they're just a fucking storage unit. They're a content company, essentially. They have their hands in a little bit of everything. Video games, music, movies, all forms of entertainment. And they just divulge and deal with fucking content. Which makes sense now why they bought TNA out and because of the library and all that good stuff and why they were in a position to almost kind of sell it to the WWE for their now we know why it was the tiered pricing idea for premium subscribers. They were looking for content for the premium. I'm going to tell you this now. If they get TNA pay-per-views for the WWE networks on the premium, I'm definitely buying the premium fucking thing. No brainer at that point. No brainer. And if I'm going to get to that in a second. Let me not play my hand too quickly. So Anthem is basically a content conglomerate. They just take up entities and they move on from there. So anyway, there is a television company called AXS TV. And they currently possess a few wrestling entities on their show. Okay, you understand what I'm saying to you? They own a few entities on their show. They have New Japan playing on their air right now. And now, thanks to Anthem purchasing AXS, Impact has a whole new home on AXS TV. So now it has Impact and it has New Japan. I wanted to clarify something too, because a lot of the headlines read Anthem buys AXS. That was the headline. It isn't true. They did not buy AXS Television. And by the way, there's another entity with it. It's not just AXS Television. It's HDNet, which is important to the story, as I tell you to tell it to you. Anthem did not buy AXS TV. They own majority shares. That is very important. Because, again, we're talking the business here of professional wrestling. The business. And in business, it's all in the print. And the fact of the matter is Anthem does not own AXS. They control it. They have the highest percentage. There's not going to be a whole lot of people fucking with them on this. But they don't own it flat out. There's actually a few more investors, and we're going to get to them in a second. But the networks, with AXS TV and HDNet combined together, it gives Anthem more access. Over 150 million homes have those channels. So it expands their market out just a little bit. And the people that the person that they sat down at the table and negotiated with this deal is Mark Cuban. One of the hosts of Shark Tank, owners of the Dallas Mavericks. And they sat down with him. They worked out a fucking deal. And that's where we wind up here. They own majority stakes. Now, here's the deal. Mark Cuban did not sell outright. I want to say that again because it's fucking important. They did not sell. He did not sell outright. Mark Cuban is still on the board and is still an investor with financial stakes in AXS TV and HDNet. He isn't gone. He's still a part of this. And as a side note, which was alarming but hilarious at the same time, one of the people that they brought in is Steve Harvey, comedian, former king of comedy. Used to have his own sitcom. He has his own talk show. He has his own radio show. I live in New York. I can't go anywhere in the ghetto without hearing that fucking show on every fucking morning. Steve Harvey is the bane of my fucking existence at this point. But he is now also an investor with a very relevant amount of stakes in the comings and goings in the business of AXS TV and HDNet. Cuban has been had a hand in providing content. Obviously, Anthem has impacted a bunch of other things that they can throw on as content for the channel. And from what I am reading, Steve Harvey will have the opportunity as an executive producer and as a very creative individual to bring some content of his own to the news stations as well. So this opens up a lot of possibilities, because it was right after this purchase of these stakes where the rumor mill really began. The rumor mill of Impact quite possibly buying Ring of Honor. Now, that's the headline, Impact possibly buying Ring of Honor, or Impact interested in buying Ring of Honor. If you see any website with that headline, it's factually incorrect. Impact is not trying to buy anything. Anthem wants it. Now, as a subsidiary, Ring of Honor and Impact, they would be working hand-to-hand. But it's Anthem who's trying to do the buying here. Now, here's where the story really gets very, very twisted, okay? So, New Japan is already on AXS TV, and they're going to be on this channel until at least January 2021. That's more than a year from now. That's about 14 months. 14 months of content from New Japan Wrestling. Within that year, obviously, they're going to be jump-starting and kicking off Impact. Now, you're thinking to yourself, AJ, if they buy Ring of Honor and add Ring of Honor to this channel, it's going to be a wrestling powerhouse, this station. Well, let's not slow our rolls just yet. Again, rumor. It's the rumor mill. I don't normally deal in rumor, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's a very possible deal. Remember, the Ring of Honor that we all remember, that was owned by Kerry Silken all those years ago, that's been dead for a long time. Actually, what, about 10 years? People sometimes lose track of the idea that Ring of Honor is not owned by a single person. It's owned by an entity. Sinclair Broadcasting Systems owns Ring of Honor. Not Kerry, not any governing body or booker or whatever the case may be. Ring of Honor is run and owned by a television company, Sinclair Broadcasting. So is it possible for an opposing network or an entity to buy out Ring of Honor from Sinclair? I'm sure it's actually very possible, because it's happened before when Kerry Silken sold it the first time. There's a really good possibility that this could happen. Now, there's some positives and there's some negatives. Let's talk about the positives real quick. The positives of Impact, or Anthem, I should say, purchasing Ring of Honor. Because now on this channel, and possibly HDNet as well, so you can spread it around, you have New Japan, you have Ring of Honor, and you have Impact on the same fucking network. Obviously, that becomes a powerhouse. If you really want to play games and really turn this into a fucking war, you could very well, New Japan Monday, Impact Tuesday, and Ring of Honor Wednesday, and counter-program Raw, SmackDown, and NXT if you wanted to, because then that would make Wednesday night NXT, Ring of Honor, AEW. Now you've got a Monday Night War, but different from last time, because this ain't one-on-one. This is a triple threat match now. There would be a lot of possibilities. And for the record, because I looked this up, it's a possibility right now. They don't have to buy Ring of Honor to provide that lineup. Because remember, one of the entities that they purchased is HDNet. And between the years of 2009 and 2011, guess what wrestling promotion was on HDNet? That's Ring of Honor. So Anthem already owns footage of Ring of Honor from 2009 to 2011. That's 3 years worth of footage. And this is 09 to 11. So this still has like Daniel Bryan on it. It still has Tyler Black on it. It's got Austin Aries on it. This is still some of the prime years of Ring of Honor on film. So there's still a very good chance they could counter program if they wanted to. Options on the table. This is a weird time for wrestling right now. Which is what I'm going to get into the negative about all this shit. Because the negative to this would be, you've got Impact, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Ring of Honor on one program. And again, this is all rumor mill on the idea. What's not rumor is Impact is on the network and so is New Japan. That's set in stone. Those two programs are on the same channel. That's it. The rumor mill is the third option of having Ring of Honor on the program. So let's talk negative about those three programs being on the same goddamn station. The same problem that the WWE just might have for having all of its shit on the USA Network. And what I mean by that is oversaturation. That's a big deal. Now, I know a lot of people are like, AJ, this is not 1985. I don't have to keep continuously rolling out VHS tapes to record everything I need. I got DVR. You've got DVR. Well, here's the thing. Imagine your DVR. Monday Night Raw. Okay. Tuesday. No, not Tuesday. They're moving to Thursday, right? Thursday Night SmackDown. NXT on Wednesday. AEW on Wednesday. Impact on whatever fucking day it's going to be on. New Japan, which whatever day it's going to be on. Ring of Honor. All Elite Wrestling. Which I already said, but I'm just going through the list here. Ring of Honor. There's World of Sports on television from the UK. There's a lot of programming. A lot of professional wrestling on TV right now. Now, I don't know about you, but that's all oversaturation to the max to me. I love wrestling. I breathe this shit. I cannot possibly watch all of that wrestling in a given week. Because all these shows also are weekly televisions. Some 3 hours, some 2 hours, some 1 hour. But it's going to be awfully fucking hard. I wish this would have happened when I was a kid and I had the attention span and the free time to actually follow all this shit. I wish. It won't happen. Those days are gone and over with. But it would have been a good time for me. I tell you that. There is a lot of programming. A lot of pro wrestling that's going to be out there right now. A lot going on. This is a great time to be a professional wrestler. There's opportunities up the wazoo. It's a horrible time to be an owner or a promoter. But it's a great fucking time to be a pro wrestler right now. Because there's just so many fucking options. There's so many places to go. It's actually kind of incredible when you think about it. Now, New Japan Pro's contract with AXS TV ends January 2001. But who knows? You get a nice little run out of this time period in which you're there. There might be a good chance. It might be a good chance that you can get some real quality programming out of that. And if they really still are committed to expanding in the U.S. and they can work out a nice deal with Anthem where they can air their TV without all of the bullshit of the partnership, just air their program with the English commentary and we'll just see what happens after that. Who knows? Doors open. There is a lot of shit going on. In the WWE, if they respond, that's great. If they don't, it's heartbreaking to say because I grew up with the WWE. But here I am with a podcast and I can see myself slowly drifting away. As a professional, I see myself getting farther and farther away from my dream because my dream was always to work for the WWE, as every fucking child was. But the older I get, the more I realize I'm not really a fan of working over. I would never want to work over there. Not for the maniacal madman, not with the stress it puts you under, not for the travel schedule. I just wouldn't want to do it to myself. At least not now. So anyway, that's the business stuff here, folks. We talked tier prices. We talked possible ownership. We talked about a lot of shit here on the business end. This is the type of stuff, guys, that as a professional, when you come into the game, you've got to fucking think about. These are real fucking things that you have to fucking think about. Real fucking things you have to consider. It ain't just bumps. It ain't just hitting the road. There's a lot of business to be dealt with here. Lot of business. This was fun. Got a chance to do some fucking business, guys. Talk with you guys. And we got to talk a little bit about some real professional wrestling there with Tyler Bate and with Walter. This was a good episode. I had a good time. I'm going to do a little plea here at the end. A little plea, okay? I want to plea with you guys here, okay? I want to do, I am in favor of doing less WWE, and I want to do more programming. Like, I just laid out all the different programs that are going to be on TV, so I want to start paying attention to more of those programs as far as the mainstream stuff goes. I'll probably will do WWE stuff once we start getting toward the Big Four. Once we start getting towards Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, that stuff, maybe we'll divulge more into that. I want to space out a little bit more into other programs. And I know I've said this before, and I've dabbled a bit, but I still haven't really fully committed, and I want to. But the whole independent wrestling thing, doing more with the indies, I don't mean breaking down and killing talent or whatever the fuck. I mean promoting. I want to help promote more independent companies and get their names out there and get their products out there and try to put them in a position to do better business. I want to do that. That was the original plan for this podcast, and it's burned into other shit. I want to go back to basics here and do that. So if you have a local indie that you want to put over or you want to hear talked about here on the show, something nearby that puts on great match, I'm not going to talk about every fucking indie. Because in spite of the fact that I have spent a number of years of my life in independent wrestling, I'm not a huge supporter of all of it. I like good independent wrestling, not every fucking independent pro wrestling, okay? Good ones that promote good matches with good talent and are run by good men and women who are promoters, who are good promoters and good bookers that do good business and pay attention to what the audience wants and treats their audience good. I want more of that shit. So if you've got an idea, if you've got a company yourself, or you've got a big promotion, big show coming up that you want promoted on the show, brother, hit me up. Let's talk about this, and let's see if we can get that done. So that's my plea out there. I'm going to make a commercial for that coming up, too. I got a bunch more commercials that I'm trying to put together. Just time and energy, guys. Time and energy. So there's that. So thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you all for enjoying. I absolutely love spending my time with you guys, and I love the fact that you guys enjoy spending it with me as well. That ending is getting longer and longer, but you fucking get it.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.